Hello and happy Monday to you. Delighted to be with you. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. It's Catholic Answers Live, and we've got a couple hours with Trent Horn today, which is always a lot of fun, and we're going to do tips for defending the faith, so lots of opportunity to have a good time together, maybe not focus on what's on every other channel, network, station on the planet Earth right now, and talk about our Catholic faith, share it with joy with one another. If you got something hard, you got a hard question or something, you know, that's fine. I'm not trying to dissuade you. I'm just saying I'm really happy to be back in front of this microphone, and we want to spend a good time with you over the next 2 hours. Lots and lots of people working from home, and if you are working from home, maybe this is the first time you've had a chance to listen to Catholic Answers Live. Never heard us before. We're Catholic Answers is a Catholic apostolate. That's like a ministry of the church. I think a lot of churches would use the language of ministry, but in the Catholic Church, we call it an apostolate because it's not directly under a bishop. And what we do is we explain and defend the Catholic faith. So if you're not Catholic, we're delighted you're here with us. One of the things we believe about the Catholic faith is that it's eminently reasonable. And as the world is more and more unreasonable in recent decades, we think we share a desire for a greater depth of reason, a greater depth of peace of heart and peace in the family and peace in the world, with that, the kind of thing that comes from being reasonable people. So we're happy you're here. And if you're not Catholic, you're welcome to call and ask questions any day of the week. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Catholics, non-Catholics, everybody welcome. 888-318-7884. As I said, Trent Horn, our guest for 2 hours. Trent is a wonderful author of many books, including Why We're Catholic, Answering Atheism, Persuasive Pro-Life, What the Saints Never Said. That's a bestseller. And he's got his most recent book, Can a Catholic Be a Socialist? Trent Horn, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here, Cy.
Now, you and I are on the opposite ends of, or at least different stages in fatherhood. I do not have any small children home with me during this time of shutdown and all that. How's it going? Are you okay?
I'm good, but I believe a famous person once said, there are no small children, there are only small parents.
Oh, really? I don't believe anyone ever said that. I think
you're right. I think I just said that right now.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad I caught you up in that. But it's a lot of work. I mean, and now there's a lot of options that we normally have with kids, or that you as a dad with kids at home normally have. You're being good to your wife and children, though? I mean, I just want to confirm this right from the beginning. You are?
I am doing my best to serve them. I mean, I think I'm being really good to them. I'm here, if you can tell, if you're watching this on YouTube, Facebook Live, I am far more present than I usually am, working out of the home office that I have here. I will say this, trying to get through a pandemic is difficult for sure, but trying to get through it with small children is like playing a video game on extreme difficulty settings, because you take them out and they have no concept of the germ theory of disease.
No, they just can't get it. No, there's no way they can.
No explanation to them can help them understand this abstract concept of microscopic organisms. It just doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, it's hard work. So, well, I'm hoping that we'll get one of those moments where they come running in, you know, through the door while you're on the air. Remember the guy on TV that did that one time?
BBC interview.
Yeah. That's a good moment. I hope we get that from them.
You never know.
No, you don't. You never know, especially with little boys, I guess. They'll find a way. They'll pick the lock. Got to get to dad.
Interior locks at our house are very pickable, so I need to add. It's like they have locks, like chain locks for your exterior doors. I think you really should just put them in a house of small kids on every door. Just put a chain on every interior door. You do it some.
Our number is 888-318-7884. You're welcome to call for any tips on defending the Catholic faith. If you have a question about the Catholic faith, these hours are for you. 888-318-7884. And Trent Horn, as I said, is our guest. Man, lots of people learning some technology they didn't bother to learn before. I am one of them. Because a few times I've had to work from home, poor Darren has to walk me through it. You know, push this button, do this, you know, that kind of thing.
Let me give you a heads up, Cy. There is no key called the any key. That means you can just press whatever key on the keyboard and it'll work. So just so you know.
That is so helpful. That is so helpful.
There's no any.
No, and now that we're working from home, Nathan, the computer guru here, who tries to keep us from, you know, because, you know, I'll clue you in. I don't want to cause any scandal or anything, but there's people that don't like Catholics, and so they'll try to hack our computers and make our life hard, that kind of thing. So they're fighting that stuff off all the time. So they, now that we're, that a lot of us are working at home, and Darren and I are here right now, Zach's here right now, Marie's here right now, but a lot of us working from home, and I'm doing most of my work from home, I just come in to do the show, they set up two-factor authentication. I'm pretty sure I hadn't mastered one-factor authentication. I don't know what two-factor authentication is, and now I can't get into anything. I don't know. I'm sure there was an email I missed at some point.
Well,
but
two-factor, it should have asked you, Cy, to register your cell phone. And that is best practices with social media accounts, email accounts, well, that if you log into them from a separate ISP, separate IPS address, IP address or computer or terminal, it can recognize it, and then it texts you a code to put in. So your phone kind of turns into a key kind of to let you in.
I fell asleep halfway through that description. When the little pop-ups come on my phone.
Just press the any key.
Okay.
Just press the any key.
But see, when the pop-ups come up on my computer or my phone, my very strong habit is to just click an X. Wherever I can see an X, I just click it to try to make the thing go away. So I'm sure at some point there was one that I was not supposed to click the X on. I was supposed to pay attention and follow through. But now all it says is something about two-factor authentication, which is way more factors than I'm used to. So I'm just winging it now. Trent, if you sent me any emails today, I apologize. Trent, maybe I'll figure it out tonight how to get those emails. 888-318-7884 is the number. It's tips for defending the faith and also just having fun and trying to be happy and joyful today because it's Monday. Everybody's under a lot of stress. We'll try to be good company. Let's put it that way. We'll try to be good company for these 2 hours. I always find Trent to be good company. I will try to keep up and be good company as well. Pat in Illinois is first listening on 94.3 FM. That's one of the ways I'm going to be good company. I'm going to just sing the radio stations today. FM. Go ahead, Pat. Your question for Trent.
Okay. My question is this, is that since many of us are joining the mass remotely, you know, streaming masses, my question is, why do we continue to do the sacrifice of the mass through the Eucharist and the, that whole piece of it when there isn't anybody there receiving it? So I guess I'm kind of asking why we don't just kind of switch those streaming masses to a memorial type service. Why do we keep doing the actual Eucharistic part of the Mass?
Sure, that's a very good question. And what I would say is that celebrating Mass, when the priest celebrates Mass, that is the memorial service for us to celebrate, even if the faithful are not present to receive Jesus. That is the highest way for us to commemorate Christ's sacrifices, to truly make it present to the Father. And this is important because Jesus commanded us to celebrate the Mass, to celebrate this. And it's important for our salvation to be able to offer this, to represent this one sacrifice to the Father. In fact, Jesus himself intercedes for us on our behalf, always presenting himself to the Father, as Romans chapter 8 says. Now, I think it's important, though, to clarify, Pat, one thing that you said. There is never a case where there is a Mass where nobody receives Jesus, because the priest is always present there. If the priest is able to celebrate Mass, then the priest is able to receive Jesus, and sometimes other priests with him. Or I know, for example, the Byzantine Eparchy that I attend, it is current, you know, like every other diocese in the country, is suspended the celebration of the Divine Liturgy. But the priests are still able to celebrate it, and they're given special permission to do so. Normally, the Divine Liturgy is supposed to be celebrated with the faithful, but they've been given permission to do so, and they celebrate that with their families, because in the Eastern Church, there are actually married priests. So a good resource on this, Pope Paul VI wrote about this, and there's actually a Latin term for this kind of Mass. It's called in Mises Sine Populo Celebratis. And so the shorthand term for Latin when Masses are celebrated in this way is called sine populo, without the people, but the priest is still there. And what Pope Paul VI said is that, quote, even if a priest celebrates the Mass privately, what that means is the Mass is not truly private. It's still an act of Christ and of the Church to secure graces for the people of God, to nourish the priest, that at the very least, even if we're not able to be nourished on receiving the Eucharist, thank goodness the priests are able to be nourished in the Eucharist. And upon celebrating the Mass, provides a fitting place, a fitting time for us to make an act of spiritual communion, which we're very blessed to be able to do in this time where we can have the Mass live streamed and be able to join the priest in that way. So there, to answer your question, there never is a truly private Mass where nobody receives, because at the very least, the priest can receive, and it's still an act of Christ in his Church to help secure graces for the body of Christ. So I hope that's helpful for you.
Thank you, Pat.
Yep, that was great.
Okay, very good. I'm glad to hear it. Bishop Dolan here, our auxiliary bishop in San Diego, did the video Mass this weekend for the diocese, and we did that yesterday.
There's a lot of opportunity. We're truly blessed. I mean, if you think about those times in the early centuries of the Church, the catacombs, people throughout the world today who only see a priest maybe, you know, once every few months or once a year if they're lucky. People have been driven underground, like how Japan was for hundreds of years when priests were expelled from there. That when you look at today, we are enduring a trial, but we are really blessed that we have all these options to peruse, to see live streamed and recorded Masses. Ascension Press have some great ones. My family and I have really been enjoying Bishop Barron's daily Mass offered on the Word on Fire YouTube channel. So there's so many. So, I mean, even in these times of trials, we can still find some joys and blessings in them.
Tell you what, another thing you can find right now, Pat, again, thank you very much for the call. Trent has a brand new course out on the Catholic Answer School of Apologetics, the first course with Jimmy Akin. We're approaching 1,000 students now that have taken Jimmy's course in dozens of countries around the world. And now Trent Horn's course, Evidence for Catholic Moral Teaching, is available. But not only is it available, to kind of encourage you that this is a great time to take these courses and make them available at a reasonable, entry point for folks who, even in this time when lots are struggling, it's 50% off right now, today and tomorrow, 50% off to take either of the courses we have up now at the School of Apologetics. Schoolofapologetics.com is where you go. There's going to be more and more and more of these courses coming out in the months, weeks, and years to come. But the first two are up and ready, and both are 50% off right now at School of Apologetics.com.
Call us now with your question. Hello? On Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
I firmly believe that prayer is communication with God. And if we know that God is a loving Father, why wouldn't we want to talk to God? The reality is, we've got to talk to our family, we've got to talk to our friends, and if God is real, and God is definitely real, He wants to hear about our day. He also wants to know how we're doing and what our needs are. Prayer is communication with God.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Trent Horn, our guest today, both hours, very generous of, frankly, I'm going to say very generous of his wife, who's got two little boys to watch for these 2 hours on her own, but also generous of you, Trent, to do the 2 hours with us. Thank you for doing it. It's the opportunity is for any tips you'd like on defending the faith, tips for defending the faith today on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number. I'm going to try to get over to Facebook and YouTube and get some questions from there today as well. John on Facebook, this is exciting to me because I do see new names over there. I think people are discovering us while they have a different schedule right now. And John says this, and I wonder if you could give us a response. He says, religion is the cause of most wars, terror attacks, and mass genocides in the world's history. The world would be better without it. And have you ever, has that ever occurred to you, Trent?
Oh, you hear it all the time. I mean, you know, with this coronavirus outbreak, it makes me think of that Gal Gadot, Imagine video. Have you heard about that?
I heard about it.
I tried watching some of it. It was hard to get. It's basically a bunch of celebrities quarantined in their mansions, trying to cheer people up by all singing John Lennon's song Imagine.
Never really liked the song that much, so I...
It is a highly overrated... It's not a good song, and it has
mean.
A terrible
it's,
message.
It's kind of a mean song, I think.
Yeah. I believe, you know, just... To sing that now when someone's, you know, relative is dying in a hospital, imagine there's no heaven. Oh, that's a great way to
thanks.
Cheer people up.
Thanks, celebrities.
But it's just, you know, but you see, like, that's in that, like, imagine there's no heaven, imagine there's no borders, imagine there's no religion, things would be so much better. It's a naive view. And what I would, I could take it to its logical extreme, and I could say the cause of most violence, you know, of most wars and terrorism in the world are human desires. So if we just got rid of human desires or human beings, then we wouldn't have so much evil in the world. True, but you'd also not have a lot of good. In that case, not something we've been hearing a lot lately, the cure is worse than the problem itself. So there's one element there that I think I would latch onto. The other is, my main argument against this is to say, all right, so you're saying people have fought wars for religious reasons throughout history. It's the cause of most wars. I would probably rebuke that with a factual point. And my reply is usually this. I say, well, I think throughout the course of human history, people have fought over land and resources more than religion. You know, I think that should be obvious to most people. The most reasons people fight are for natural resources, for land, things like that.
Or who's going to do the dishes?
Yeah,
that's like, another big one.
That is, if that's a war in your house, I feel bad for you, Sai. It should just be a minor offensive there. But yeah, I would say, but does that mean then we should get that land is a bad thing? That natural resources are a bad thing? No, the bad thing is not the good things we fight over. It's the badness and evil in men's hearts. So even if, no matter what you get rid of, people would fight wars. People would deceive one another, kill one another, commit adultery, still do evil, because it's not about the things they fight over per se. It's about the evilness and sin in their hearts. And so what we need is a way to get rid of that evil in our hearts. So the problem with this objection, Sai, is it makes it seem like, oh, we need to get rid of the things that make people not think rationally or not think to the level they need to. No, because you have very intelligent people in this world who do very depraved things. The answer is the sinful malady in our hearts, and only God's grace can address that. So religion, far from being the source of the problem, is the only actual answer to the problem. And of course, by religion, we mean the true religion, the true faith that God has given us. Just because there are false faiths that may have motivated people to do bad things, well, there are pseudo-scientific medicines, quack medicine, that lead people to do unhealthy things. So that doesn't mean there's no true medicine. Much the same way, false religions, false teachings, does not mean there's no true religion or true teaching we should abide by.
All right, John, thank you very much for the question. And as we've said, you don't have to be Catholic to call. Anybody can call. That question came to us via Facebook. The number 888-318-7884. Given all that the world is going through right now, we want to answer all your questions. But I'm making it a special goal today to be good company as well. We want to be good company today. So I got to say, happy birthday, Theo. Trent, could you say happy birthday, Theo, please?
Happy birthday, Theo.
Yeah, that's because a guy on Facebook said, it's my birthday. Can you say happy birthday to me? So that's what I'm saying. We're trying to be good company during these difficult times. 888-318-7884, the number. Mel in Phoenix, Arizona, watching on YouTube Live. You are up next, Mel. Your question for Trent.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. And my question is it heretical to say that I do not need the Eucharist because all I need is the Holy Spirit?
Okay. Let me just bring this up here. So Mel, does this person, it's hard to diagnose whether something is a heresy based on just a statement that someone makes. Would this be somebody who believes the Eucharist is not Christ's body and blood, or that it is, but they just don't need it? Like, what does this person believe about the Eucharist?
They don't believe that Jesus is in the Eucharist. They don't believe.
Okay.
They just think it's just bread and wine.
Okay, yeah, sure. So if you were a Catholic who obstinately, even after being corrected, denied the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, if you were a Catholic in that mm-hmm. position who held that in bad faith even after attempts to correct you are made, that would be a case of heresy, because you're denying a divinely revealed truth of the faith, which is that Christ is truly right. present in the Eucharist. And those who say, well, I just need the Holy Spirit, I would say we do need the Holy Spirit, absolutely. But Jesus says that we need more than that. We need him. And I would just point them to things like John chapter 6, for example, where Jesus says, unless you receive the Holy Spirit. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have life within you. So it's true in John 3:5, Jesus says, what saves us, what gives us our new birth, is being born again by water and spirit, which is a reference to baptism. Baptism is the door to the sacraments. But all seven of the sacraments, they're centered around the Eucharist, if you think about them. They're all connected to the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Baptism allows us to receive the Eucharist. Confirmation makes us adults in the faith to be able to better understand it. Penance removes mortal sin so we can receive the Eucharist. Anointing of the sick strengthens us so we can be healed to receive the Eucharist again. Marriage creates new people who receive Christ in the Eucharist. And of course, the priest celebrates the Eucharist. So that's described in the beginning section of the Catechism on the sacraments, paragraphs 1210 to 1212, 1213. So I would say that what this person is saying, that we do need the Holy Spirit, but they've fallen short when they misunderstand the importance of the Eucharist. It's not merely some kind of memorial. It is the source and summit of our faith. So Mel, I let's see. Well, are we able to take emails, Cy? Can we do that?
Yeah, someone could send us an email to radio@catholic.com. Always fine.
That's fine. So, Mel, if you would like, if you send us an email at radio@catholic.com, I would like to send you an electronic copy of my book, Why We're Catholic, which has a chapter on the Eucharist.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah, so okay. Just send it to radio@catholic.com.
Thanks, Mel. Thank you. Yeah, radio@catholic.com. And it's up on our website as well if you forget it. But just radio@catholic.com. It shouldn't be too hard to remember. Although if you're like me, you'll forget it a minute after you hang up the phone. Thanks, Mel. Trent is being very polite there because he knows that Marie doesn't have access to all the things she usually has, which makes it easier for us to send out books. So, but he sent out the e-version and he's taking care of it himself. And just so you know, because I know that Trent has a reputation for giving away, like, I don't know, maybe 80, 50, 90 books every hour. So it's a little more difficult to do that. So Mel, thank you very much. Hey, I mentioned birthdays. Guess whose birthday is tomorrow, Trent?
Let's see. Christopher Check.
No.
Darren.
Yes.
Marie. It's Darren. Wow. Darren. Only took two guesses.
Yeah. And you know, he just sent me a note. It said today is his last day in his 30s.
Whoa.
He's turning 40.
It's all downhill from here.
Which means he goes, as he was explaining, from a low risk group into a high risk group now. In one day. I don't know. Maybe you're not supposed to joke about that stuff. 888-318.
But we have to also think maybe as you get older, you're in a higher risk group for like coronavirus,
yeah.
But you may be at a lower risk for like certain kinds of accidental deaths or things like that, because you've gotten older and wiser. So it's kind of a trade-off.
Yes, I like it. I like it. I'm not exactly convinced that the older and wiser part saves you from accidents and things, because you can't see and hear as well. And you lose your balance easier. That's what I have found at 55. So,
well, maybe it's the recklessness. It's the accidents from recklessness that decrease. Cause I mean, think
that's
about
true.
It. Like when they do insurance, calculate like automobile insurance, like when you're younger, you get way higher rates and things like that. I'm sure there's a correlation. So I'm sure it's a trade-off. So yeah, well, happy early birthday to Darren then. That makes me happy.
Yeah. 40 tomorrow. Three kids. He's also at home with three little kids and his wife, Rena. I don't know how you guys are doing it right now. It's a wild time. Hey, we've got Trent Horn with us for 2 hours. He's going to take any question you've got on defending the Catholic faith, give you tips on defending the Catholic faith. And we're trying to be fun and be good company today. I don't know if we're achieving it, but we're trying. 888-318-7884.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the church instead. But we should embrace sacred scripture, not just as the revealed word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, where Trent Horn is with us for 2 hours today to offer tips on defending the faith. If you have a question about defending the faith, whether you're Catholic or not, you can call with your question 888-318-7884. And while Trent does all that hard work, I'm just trying to be good company. I feel like we need to have a little, I don't know, maybe I'm a little stir crazy. I think I might actually be a little stir crazy. And I've annoyed my wife now in every way that you can annoy a wife. So maybe I'll just come here to work and annoy people through the radio. That'll be my plan for getting through the time of the virus. Trent, Peter in Louisiana wants to talk to you. Are you willing to take calls now?
Sure.
Peter in Louisiana is listening on the almighty 690 AM. Peter, your question for Trent.
Hey, how's it going? So my question was about kind of the Jehovah's Witness religion. I had a conversation with a friend of mine at work, and she was talking, I'm glad you guys are talking about birthdays today, because that's actually what I was going to bring up. So there's this thing where they say because of the pagan origin of the tradition, they don't do it. And to me, that didn't really make sense, because I feel like it's just celebrating the anniversary of someone's birth. There's nothing inherently wrong about that. But she was saying that we need to model our lives after the first Christian. So she was saying first century Christians wouldn't have done it. They frowned upon it. so we should look to them as an example. And I was wondering, how do I counter that? Or, like, there's nothing wrong with celebrating birthdays, I assume.
No, it's not. As long as things are kept within reason, of course, some birthday parties can get rather out of hand. You know, I think you remember that television show, My Sweet 16, a long time ago in the annals of less than ideal television history. So the idea with birthdays, and I'm familiar with this Jehovah's Witness argument. So there's two arguments here, what the Jehovah's Witnesses say, and then the nature of birthdays themselves. So, yeah, birthdays are something that are not primarily celebrated in Judaism or Christianity, at least not in antiquity. So in the early church, actually, there was a hesitance to celebrate birthdays. That's why the feast of Christ's birth, even, that the recording of when that feast took place, it's actually a few centuries into church history. I think Origen talks about this. There was a hesitance to celebrate birthdays because it was something that was heavily celebrated among pagans, whereas the birth that we care most about is our baptism, our new birth in Christ. That's what matters most, and what we want to emphasize. So, like in the Bible, the only explicit birthdays I can think of in the Bible are Pharaoh in Egypt, in the story about Joseph, the patriarch Joseph,
right,
and then Herod on his birthday, and then they were occasions
right.
for. For depravity.
There was human sacrifice
but
for both of
just because something was adopted later in Christian history and it had pagan origins does not mean that thing is wrong. My favorite example mm-hmm. of this that most people would agree with would be wedding rings. So wedding rings are not a Christian tradition. They are, I think, one of the oldest testaments we have to wedding rings is that they developed in ancient Egypt. You would wear them on the finger that had a nerve or a blood vessel that was believed to go straight to the heart. And so the ring was a symbol of something around the finger that goes to the heart. Its circular design implies it's being never-ending. And then Christians later adopted the exchanging of rings as part of their celebrations. Also, the lighting of candles. In the early church, actually, there was a big controversy about the organ. So the very first Christians, their church services were a cappella. In fact, at the church that I attend, it's still done in a cappella because that's how it was preserved. But in the very early church, the organ was considered an instrument of pagan debaucherous rituals. But then later now you get people who will say that it's wrong for people to use any instrument except the organ. So it's funny to see how things change. But we can take things that have pagan elements and baptize them. That's what Pope St. John Paul II called enculturation. So I'd also challenge this person. They say, well, we should be like the first century Christians. I would say, all right, what organization did they follow? It definitely wasn't the Bible Watchtower and Tract Society that the witnesses say. It was the church that Christ established. And then I might point out that the first Christians believed things that Jehovah's Witnesses do not, like that Jesus is God, for example, and that God is a Trinity. I would recommend, I tell you what, Peter, if you can send us an email at radio@catholic.com, I'll send you my booklet, 20 Answers Jehovah's Witnesses, and that might be helpful for you dealing with that subject. Mm-hmm. So is this everything I put forward, is that helpful in that regard?
Yeah, I feel like I have so many more questions, but yeah, that's definitely a good starting point.
Well, if you can't have birthdays just because the ancient Egyptians celebrated birthdays, you can't have cats either then. Like, cats are out. So I think you should ask them if they have cats. Also, and here's the most important thing, probably more important than anything Trent said, cake. Come on. They have cake at birthdays. We're not giving that up. I just want to make clear we're not giving that up. 888-318-7884. What, Trent? You wanted to, it bothered you that I'm defending cake?
No, I just worry that I might have been yammering on and no one heard me. Did I get cut off?
No, you were fine.
Okay. You know what happened? You know what happened?
I think you had a moment.
I did have a moment because I heard a notification icon.
Oh.
So here's what happened. I heard a notification icon in my background. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I don't want to hear these notifications popping up. So I hit mute on my laptop, forgetting that I'm doing everything through my earbuds.
Because
when I'm in the studio, I'm talking in a microphone, and so everything I'm doing, I'm wearing the headset, And I would normally mute what's on my computer. I'm like, oh, wait. I had a moment.
Well, there was important conversation about cats and cake that you may have missed, but we're going to move on from that because
I'll go back and watch the show because that sounds interesting. As long as it's not like cakes made out of cats, I'm willing to make a I'm willing to have a cake in the shape of a cat.
Now you made it weird. See, you took what was a perfectly normal discussion of cats and cake, and you made it weird. Trent Horn is our guest. Our number is 888-318-7884. Tips for defending the Catholic faith today with Trent. Peter in Louisiana, thank you very, very much for that. We'll go now to Andrew in Seattle, Washington, listening on EWTN, listening to EWTN on 1050 AM in Seattle. Andrew, your question for Trent.
Hi, Trent.
Hello.
Two questions. When the priest gives me the body of Christ at communion, is he at that moment persona Christi?
Yes. He's in persona Christi throughout the entire celebration of the Mass. I would love to expand upon that with the wisdom of previous pontiffs, but you said you had a second question, so I may hold that for the moment.
But did you hear how Andrew said thank you? It sounded like he just won money. Was there a bet on this, Andrew? Because the way you said thank you.
No,
okay, all right, because it sounded like you won money on that one. All right, go ahead.
I think I might go get a dog, though, because the cats are out, right?
Yes. All right, get a dog and some cake and enjoy your evening.
Anyway, the second question is, when Pilate asked Christ, are you the king of the Jews? And Christ said, you say that I am. What's the context of that? In today's modern world, would that be like saying you said it?
Right. So what's happening here is that Jesus is standing up, you know, he is presenting himself before Pilate, and he is the lamb being led away to slaughter. So he's not trying to offer an exhaustive defense of himself, which corresponds to the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53, saying that the suffering servant or the Messiah would be like a lamb who uttered nothing and was led to the slaughter. And so Jesus, rather than making some kind of apologia or a defense of himself, he accepts these charges. And he is putting forward, in his responses, he is showing that the charges are both true and false. And so what's happening here is similar to what happens with Jesus when he's uttering his parables. The parables existed through the ministry of the proclamation of the word as ways of Jesus sharing the truth so that they're veiled in the way that instead of Jesus just coming right out and saying something, he presents it as a parable. So those who are called by God to understand it and want to accept it can, and those who don't can just easily dismiss it as just a silly story. And so when Jesus says he's the king of the Jews, he is, but he's not a kind of military king or someone who's leading a purely earthly conception of the role of the Messiah or a king in that sense. But he is a king in a much grander sense, and that this is something that a charge that Pilate has received, and Jesus is saying that this is what you put forward. You have said it, but there's more to meditate upon it, and Jesus makes that clear later when Pilate talks about how he can release Jesus, and Jesus says, but my kingdom is not of this world. Otherwise, my followers would have fought not to have me handed over to you. I wouldn't have been handed over. I would also recommend some resources on the issue of being in persona Christi. Pope St. John Paul II has a wonderful document on this called Dominice Sene. I think I pronounced that right. I'm terrible at pronouncing words in any language, frankly. But there's a wonderful treatment paragraph in Dominice Sene where Pope St. John Paul II says, the priest offers the holy sacrifice in persona Christi. This means more than offering in the name of or in place of Christ. In persona means in specific sacramental identification with the eternal high priest, who is the author and subject of the sacrifice, a sacrifice in which, in truth, nobody can take his place. The only person who can offer Jesus to the Father is Jesus. And that's why the priest is in persona Christi in the offering of the Mass, because he is in the person of Christ to be able to offer that. And that's something unique to the priest. The Code of Canon Law even says that being in persona Christi is only something priests and bishops share. Even the deacon does not share in Persona Christi like the priest does. So I hope that's helpful to you all on both of those points. Thank you for calling in, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew. It's right now we have Trent Horn with us both hours today. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Your calls are welcome at 888-318-7884. Whether you're Catholic or not, you're always welcome to call here. 888-318-7884. Tips for defending the faith today. We still have the free ebook, and I don't usually, they Carrie, who puts them up, usually ends it on the last day of the month, so tomorrow might be the last day to get it, but we really want you to have it. 20 Answers Prayer at shop.catholic.com. It's the ebook version of one of our 20 Answers books, and it's the one on prayer from Father Hugh and Father Sebastian, wonderful priests. You hear them here on Catholic Answers Live, very wise and helpful men, and we want you to have it for free. Just go to shop.catholic.com, look for the banner at the top of the page, download your free copy of 20 Answers Prayer.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
When you deal with God, get out of the way.
The incomparable Mother Angelica. She broke the mold of Catholic teaching with her one-of-a-kind perspective. From her spunky spiritual growth talks to her eye-opening scripture study, a nun like none other.
I intend to scare hell out of you.
She was the one, the only, the non-forgettable Mother Angelica. Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and Television.
Back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Trent Horn, our guest both hours. We're doing tips for defending the faith. So if you'd like a tip on, you know, something maybe people challenge you on as far as your Catholic faith, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Or maybe it's something that you struggle with yourself and you'd like to know how an apologist handles the question or problem that you have. 888-318-7884. As always, everyone is welcome to call. You do not have to be a Catholic to call. We share the Christian faith with millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people who do not claim the Catholic faith for themselves, but there are many things that Trent might be able to help you defend, whether you're a Protestant or Orthodox or Anglican or other type of Christian. Maybe you need help defending the reality of God or the revelation that God is a trinity of persons, or you need help defending the acceptability of the Bible as true and as the Word of God. You're always welcome to call 888-318-7884. Everyone's welcome. 888-31-TRUTH. Let's go now to Matt in Alberta, Canada, watching on YouTube Live. Matt, your question for Trent.
Oh, hi. Yes, my question is how miraculous medals work, or scapulars and stuff.
You said miraculous medals and scapulars. So
yeah.
Okay. So these things that people wear, Trent, how do we Catholics understand all that to work?
Sure. So miraculous medals and scapulars belong to a set of objects and behaviors and blessings and rituals that we call sacramentals. So sacramentals are things that the Church has given us to make us more disposed to receiving the Holy Spirit in the sacraments. So paragraph 1670 And 1669 through 1670 lays this out. Talks about how sacramentals are derived from the baptismal priesthood, that when we are baptized, there are ministerial priests who can celebrate the Eucharist, but we are all called in virtue of our baptism in a role of imitating Christ and being priest, prophet, and king. And so part of that role means being priests who are able to proclaim Christ and to be a blessing to others and lead other people to Christ, just like a priest leads us to Christ every day when he celebrates Mass, especially when we're actually able to attend in person. Paragraph 1670 says, sacramentals do not confer the grace of the Holy Spirit in the way that the sacraments do. So a sacramental doesn't give us grace like baptism does or the Eucharist does or confession. But by the church's prayer, they prepare us to receive grace and dispose us to cooperate with it. So the miraculous medal and the scapular, that these traditions have been born out of private revelations that God has given to specific people in history, like St. Catherine Labore. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. Labore. Yeah, mm-hmm. This is what happens when you get all your learning from books.
I've never trusted book learning for that very reason. If I don't hear someone pronounce it on YouTube, it ain't real to me. All right?
It ain't real. So these private revelations, we learn about how these objects that the church has given us, they help dispose us to grace, and they serve as essentially reminders and ways for us to orient ourselves always towards God. And there have been special promises in that private revelation that the Blessed Mother gave about those who wear a scapular or a miraculous medal, who do so out of faith. These things are not like magic charms or superstitious objects. They would be on par to explain to a Protestant, I might say, why do you wear a cross around your neck? To a Protestant, say, well, it reminds me of what Christ has done for me. And I would say, well, we believe something similar with sacramentals. We also believe that God, who gave us the church, loves us so much, he wants to just give us grace and blessings and always predispose us to receive his grace. And through the sacramentals, we're able to do that. And it's not just wearing scapulars or miraculous medals. It includes things like blessing oneself with holy water. Or I think the most popular sacramental, actually, the most widely used one, is making the sign of the cross. I think it's the most popular sacramental that predisposes us to that grace. So is that a helpful answer, Matt, to your question?
Yeah, so it's through the blessing of the object, not the object itself. Is that you'd say it, or?
It's through the church giving us various means to predispose us to grace. So the object does not have a magical property to it, but God uses different objects or rituals or prayers to dispose us to receiving his grace. It's like if I say, a prayer to God, it's not like the words have a magical power that bring me grace. Rather, God works through the prayers that I make for myself to be blessed and others to be blessed through that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
I always think of the woman who was healed by the hem of Christ's garment. It wasn't actually the hem of the garment that healed her, but it was her faith and Christ's power going
working
out
through
her.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why the sacramentals, they don't dispose us if we lack faith. Otherwise, they just become superstitious charms. Like if you just hang a rosary around your rearview mirror thinking you won't get into a car accident, that's not how it works.
What if you do it just to look cool, though?
No. You're still not being predisposed. Your only thing you're being predisposed to is not putting a rosary to good use.
All right. Okay. Laura, thanks, Matt. Laura in Maryland is next. Laura's watching on YouTube Live. Laura, your question for Trent.
I actually have four different scriptures, but I'll just start with this one. I want to know why the Catholic Church does this. But in the book of Mark, chapter 10:18, Jesus said to his apostles, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God." So therefore, I find it blasphemy that we would dare call the Pope holy. Mm-hmm. If Jesus himself says that he is not worthy of being called good, how dare us call the Pope holy?
Okay.
Hello.
I can hear you, Laura. So, do you think then, so in that phrase in Mark 10:18, Jesus is talking to the young man. This isn't a discussion with the apostles. He says, you know, good rabbi, what must I do to be saved? And it's very clear here that the guy is kind of trying to butter up Jesus, essentially, to get a favorable answer from him. That, you know, so he's saying, why
he doesn't like the answer. Okay.
Yeah. So, but let me continue.
Why would Jesus ever say he's not good? He didn't, not even to say that he's not holy. He said, why would you call me good?
Right.
Right. But what he's doing here, Laura, it's a bit of irony, in that he's saying, why do you call me good? Only God is good. But notice what's happening here. Jesus is God. So what's funny is that this is actually a very appropriate thing for him to be saying. What is happening here is Jesus is trying to help the young man focus on God and focus on being drawn closer to God for his salvation, and not just trying to impress a rabbi with the certain deeds that he's performed. That what he's concerned about is that the young man is trying to just impress this rabbi, you know, a prestigious rabbi, rather than finding favor with God, who is good. He should worry about what God thinks about him, not just what a rabbi thinks about him. And of course, the whole irony of the scene is that Jesus is God. And so Jesus never denies that he is good or denies that he's God in that response. But I think that your concern about calling the Pope the Holy Father, I don't see how that's problematic, because many times in Scripture, human beings are called holy. The word holy just means set apart. So we are all called to be holy, and we're all set apart for different purposes. In fact, in Peter's first letter, in 1 Peter 1:16, he refers back to the book of Leviticus, and Peter says that he's referring back to what God says, commanding us, be holy, for I am holy. Deuteronomy 7:6 says that the Israelites, that you are a holy people to the Lord. One that I find really persuasive is 1 Corinthians 7:14. In there, Paul talks about how a believing spouse can sanctify, which means to make holy, the unbelieving spouse. So in 1 Corinthians 7:14, he says that the believing spouse can sanctify the unbelieving spouse, and now they are holy. So holy just means set apart. And so only God is holy in virtue of himself. Only God is just goodness itself. But the more we draw close to God, the holier we become, because when we draw close to God, we're set apart from the world. And as Catholics, we believe the Pope is set apart for a very important pastoral mission, to be the pastor of Christ's church. And so we call him Holy Father because he's been given that very, very special role in Christ's church. So just as a start, is that a helpful explanation?
I don't accept that, because I know that no man is holy. Just like, why would the Catholic Church in Matthew 23:9 say, Jesus said, call no man on earth your father. You have one father, and that is God in heaven. So what do the priests do? What does the Pope do? They say, call me father.
Well, okay, Laura, this is a bit of a different subject, but I'm happy to go into it a bit more. When it comes to calling people father, do you think we can call our own biological father's father?
We call him dad. And I was adopted in 2007, okay. And I was dead asleep, and I cried out because I was going through a horrible divorce. I cried out, daddy.
Laura.
And then I slammed my hands over my mouth, and I said, forgive me, I blaspheme. Jesus is the only one who can call you dad.
Okay, Laura, I think we're not going to be able to have a dialogue here. I don't want someone who's going to have a monologue. I want to have a dialogue. So here's what I would encourage you. First, on that point, I don't think it would be persuasive to you if I said, well, I don't call my priest father, I call him padre, because it's just the word father in a different language, or it's a more informal way of saying it. I think that just as we can call our biological father's father, and St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:15, he called himself. He said, I became your father, a spiritual father in Christ Jesus. I'd also recommend email us at radio@catholic.com. And I'd be happy to send you my book, Why We're Catholic, to answer more questions.
Just to be clear, the address he gave is radio@catholic.com. Laura, if you send us an email there, Trent will send you that. Trent Horn is our guest, and he's going to stay with us for another hour. So if you have a question about a tip for defending the faith, something that you would like help defending, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Trent Horn, going to stay with us. We'd love your call. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back after this.